God has very clearly instructed us as parents to be the spiritual leaders of our families. I'm going to lead off with that because everything else I'm going to say is based on that. If you don't believe that, then everything else I'm going to say is just going to go right over the top of your head and you're not even going to care. I believe personally that that is the most important job that a mother or a father has. Yes, it's important for us to make sure that our children can read and write. It's important for us to instill in them a sense of a desire to improve themselves somehow. It's important for us to help guide them in choices they make about certain issues of their life, like who they're going to marry and what jobs they're going to have. But the number one most important thing is for us as parents and grandparents to be the spiritual leaders of our families. We should instill this in them at a very young age. Can anybody quote for me or give me a hint of what it might say or look it up real fast, Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Days of your youth. We have probably all seen young people as they grow older begin to have no pleasure in the things of God. They turn their backs on their religion. They turn their backs on what their parents believe. They turn their backs on what they have supposedly been taught and apparently been taught from their youth. Notice there is no age bottom put on that statement by Solomon. Remember thy Creator in the days of their youth. How young is youth? How young is youth? When is it important for us to begin instilling in our children a sense of the divine? Some might say when they're old enough to talk. I would say that's too late. Some would say when they're old enough to interact with the parent. I would say that that's too late. Some would say when they are just a wee babe days old. Modern science and in studies tell us that that is too late. A child actually begins to incorporate things from the outside world even while they're still in the womb. When a young lady, a young mother, comes to the services and she is expecting, and she's sitting in a congregation and there is singing going on, that child in her womb is affected by that. When mom or dad sit and sing songs to that child while they're still in the womb, they are affected by that. Now, they may not understand. They may not understand the words. They may not understand the concepts. They may not be able to make cognitive decisions about what is being listened to through their ears. But those sounds stay with them. They get used to the sound of the mother or the father reading from the words, singing hymns of praise. They get used to hearing congregations praise God in unison. I want us to turn, we're going to spend a little bit of time in the Old Testament, as some of you may have figured that we might. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, God has begun to give His laws to the people. And partway into these laws, He appears to give a request, a response from them. They give a positive response. Yes, we will follow you. We will do what you say. And I want us to look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Everywhere our children look, they should see signs of God in our lives. I know some people put verses up on their walls. That's great. I think that is a wonderful idea. Because every time that child looks at that wall, from the age they can read, they're going to be learning verses, memorizing them. Anything that we can do that teaches our children anything about God is good. If a message can get across. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 19. This is going to sound familiar. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, in the days like the days of the heavens above the earth. Why would Moses repeat this to the people? Because we don't learn very good the first time around sometimes. Guess what? Sometimes our children don't learn very well the first time around. We have to tell them over and over and over and over. You can't tell a child something once and expect them to remember it forever any more than your boss can tell you something once at work and really truly expect you to remember it forever. It's going to take a few times. You're going to have to see it in writing. You're going to have to watch somebody else do it. Well, guess what? Our children learn exactly the same way we do. Repetition really is the key to learning. If you want your child to know something, you make sure they hear it over and over and over and over. And kids, if you want us to stop saying the same things over and over and over then over, then learn it and we'll stop saying it. Repetition is the key to our learning. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let's start with verse 12. Gather the people together, Moses says. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. What did Moses think it was most important? Two things, he says, are most important for you to teach your children. One is to fear the Lord, to respect Him, to understand your place. He is the Creator, you are the created, and you were made to serve Him. We must instill that in our children. And the second thing, he says, is that they learn to observe all the words of the law. Carefully, he says. Carefully. How is the best way for a young child to learn something that they need to know? To observe it in their parents. If we're not doing what the Word of God tells us to do, why on earth would we expect our children to follow that? Why would they? They are going to be perfect little imitators of us. They are going to mimic what we do and what we say. Teach them those two things. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe all the words of the law. One of the questions that was posed to me was, what should we teach our children? Everything. Everything. I can't even imagine a parent who would say, my child needs to know this, but I'm not going to teach it to him. My child really should know not to run out in the street after a ball because of the cars zipping by, but you know what? I think I'll let him learn that one on his own. That makes no sense to me. If you figure out that your child needs to know something, it's past time to teach it. You need to get it taught right now. So the simple answer to what should we teach our children is everything. Anything that we see in the Word that is important, anything we see in the Word that is going to affect their life, and anything we see in the Word that is going to help them be a good servant of God Almighty. That's what we should be teaching our children. The other question that was posed to me is, when should we teach our children? Now. Now. If they can understand the words you speak, they can learn it. They can learn it. And even if they can't understand the words you speak, they can get in the habit of doing. Let me give you an example. Every Sunday, churches across the U.S. meet together and they observe the Lord's Supper. The adults understand that this is a time for self-reflection. This is a time for evaluation. This is a time for remembering what it is that Christ did for us. There's all kinds of very complicated, very deep issues that the adults in the auditorium are contemplating at that moment. What about little 4 or 5-year-old Johnny? Perhaps it's a time for mom and dad to take all the toys, to take all the drawing materials, and help instruct that young child, this is a time when we think about Jesus. Now that child may not have any concept what the Lord's Supper is about. That child may not even completely understand who and what Jesus is about. But what have they just observed in their parents and what have they just learned? That there is a time for sitting quietly and meditating and thinking seriously about a topic. And when it comes time for that individual, that young child, to grow and mature and to begin to understand some of the deeper things, it's not going to be a shock to them when they understand that they aren't supposed to be sitting and visiting or they aren't supposed to be sitting and playing with toys during that part of the service. It's not that long. We live in a society where we think our children must be entertained 24/7 while they're awake. We're called to be a unique people. The things we teach our children should be unique. We teach our children in everything we do. I want you just to think that Moses had brought up the fact that we should teach our children when we're lying down, when we're walking around, when we're sitting in our house, anytime we're doing anything, we should be teaching our children. Think about some of the ways and some of the things that we can teach our children. If we want our children to have a love for the Word of God, we need to show them that we have a love for the Word of God. Do they see us studying? Do they hear us talking about spiritual things? Do they notice us paying attention to issues that concern the Word of God? Are we paying attention during the worship service, or are we doing other things? Are we flipping through our billfold and cleaning it out? Are we clipping our fingernails? Are we daydreaming and it's obvious? Are we showing our children a love for learning the Word? You know, another thing we can do as parents is we can take everything that goes on around us and in our lives and turn it around into a lesson about God, can't we? If every good and perfect gift is from above, then when something good happens to us as a family, who should we make sure to include as being responsible for that? When something bad happens in our family, who should be the first person that we go to for strength and support and not the last? Everything that we do and say can be teaching. How do we teach our children to solve conflicts and problems in their lives? Do we use modern psychology? Do we use information from books that we get from other places? Or do we look into the Word and say, this is how God says we should solve our problems? Even a small child, when they're having a disagreement with another child, can understand the concept, if that child has done something that hurts you, you need to go talk to them about it. That's what Jesus said to do, isn't it? Another thing we can do is, as we read the Bible, we can read and discuss the Bible and actually read it and discuss it as real people and real events, not just as stories. They hear fiction from all over the place. We can give them truth and reality. Noah wasn't just some figment of somebody's imagination. He was a real man. And the things he did were real. I think one of the most important things we can do is we can teach them to be thankful. Paul made an interesting statement one time. He said, you know, those people who have turned their back on their God, there was a list of things that they've done, and one of them right in the middle of it was they had forgotten to be thankful. Thanking God for everything that happens. Going to Him when there's problems and difficulties. Looking to Him for strength and guidance. Teaching them how to be thankful. Teaching them, along with that, the power of prayer and how to pray. Teaching them the power of prayer and how often do your children hear you pray and how often do you hear them pray? You know, most families this time of year with school going on and everything, they're fortunate if they're sitting down to supper together. So it may be that you actually have to pray with your children some other time than at the meal table. What a novel idea. Teaching them when we're sitting, teaching them when we're walking. Sometimes, as we're trying to teach our children, we can encounter difficult situations in getting the true message across. We won't turn there, but I encourage you to look at two sets of examples that I thought about, and there's probably many more. One is Lois and Eunice. You remember them? The parents of Timothy. They were raising Timothy in a home where the father was a Greek. Doesn't indicate that he was a believer. They were raising him in a community and a society that was very idolatrous in their normal social worship to gods and goddesses, their normal social religion. But yet somehow, some way, they were able to instill in Timothy, according to Paul, from a very young age, a sense of God, a sense of fear of God, and an importance of observing what God said. Another set of parents that I thought of were the parents of Moses, who were in the same situation, only both parents were believers, but technically, according to society, it wasn't their kid. But yet they still, from a small age, found a way to instill in him a sense of who he was, where he had come from, who God was, and the importance of serving him. I felt like I wanted to touch on one other idea that I think is plaguing society in general, and I'm afraid that I see it at times creeping into the church. And it's the idea of the refusal of parents to parent. They have children, but there seems to be no desire or very little desire to be proactive in the instruction or the training of those children. Oh, we give our children religious instruction. We come to church. Do you really think they're going to learn everything they need to know about God at church? We send them to school 5 days a week to learn how to read and write and add and subtract. And we bring them to an hour of Sunday school class a week and hope that their spirit is fine in the judgment day. That doesn't sound like a good trade-off to me. We should be teaching our children constantly. This may mean that we as parents have to be the parents. We may have to take control over some aspects of our children's lives, because my experience as a young person was that I wasn't a very good judge of what I should or shouldn't listen to or watch. So it falls to us as parents to make sure that we are monitoring what our children see and hear and interact with. We have to be the ones to control the remote control. We have to be the ones to control the internet sites. We have to be the ones to control the music and the iPods. We have to be the ones that monitor the friends. It's not easy. But if you're not doing that, then you are refusing to parent. Because God has told us to be the spiritual leaders in our family. And if you're not monitoring any of that stuff, that is becoming the spiritual leader of your children. That's teaching them more than you ever are. I want to speak very briefly to those high school, college age that aren't married and are thinking of marriage. And I just want to make two quick, brief points to you. If you don't want the responsibility of being a parent, if you're not ready to make the hard and difficult decisions that it takes to raise up godly children, please, I beg of you, do not get married. Because children usually follow. And if you don't want that responsibility, then those children are not going to be raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if you do feel the need that you need to get married, and you do want children, then start now watching and observing and thinking and learning what it takes to be a good parent. Because your children will not come with instruction manuals. And there will be hard and difficult decisions ahead, and you're going to need to know ahead of time who you can turn to for advice and who you can turn to for support. So look around and find men and women who are raising their children in godly ways and lean on them as you become parents. I want to go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 78. When I first saw my topic, what to teach our children and when, this was the first verse or set of verses that popped into my head. Psalm 78, verse 5. For he, God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children. What is the point for God giving commands to the parents so they can teach them to their children? And I want you to notice verse 4 as well. We will not hide them from our children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. I mentioned a little bit ago that what we should teach to our children is everything. And here, God instructs us not to hide anything from our children. Now, yes, there are certain things that we teach our children that there is a range of age appropriateness. Sometimes they're too young to understand completely something, but they're not too young to completely understand everything. Teach them. This is what we should be teaching our children. The praises of the Lord. Do your children hear you praise God on a regular basis? Do they know that you are focused and you are understanding about God's role and His position in your life? His strength. Do you talk to your children about how God upholds you? How God strengthens you? How, yes, there are times when you struggle, when you have difficulties, when you fall, and then it's by the hand of God that you are raised back up to walk again. Do they hear you declare His wonderful works? When something good happens, do you give God the glory and the praise? Or are you like Moses in the rock and you take some of that credit for yourself? You know, there's another interesting passage here in just a second, but I want you to think about this concept. All of us as parents, if you were to ask anybody in the world, regardless, even if they had any religious ideas or religious followings or religious beliefs in their head at all, almost every single parent in the entire world wants something for their children. They want them to have a better life than the parents had. They want them to be more educated. They want them to have it easier. They want them to have the things that we never had. That's what the world says is important for a parent to leave to their child. Look at what God says is important in verse 7. Why is it that we should teach our children? Verse 7. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. We teach our children so that they can walk closer to God than we did as parents when we were their age. So that they can teach their children and that generation can be more godly than they were or we were. We should want more and better for our children spiritually. We should want them to understand more. We should want them to know more. We should want them to be closer to God. We should want them to have a greater relationship with Jesus than we ever had. What do we teach our children? Everything. When do we teach our children? Now. Why do we teach our children? So that they will be better Christians than we could have ever hoped to be. And through that, the church is established, the church is strengthened, and the Word of God goes on in a mighty way from generation to generation to generation.